the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
It's that time, Wednesday, 8 o'clock in the morning, when we talk to Lorene Gilbert, the CEO of Wealthwise Financial, and we get the scoop on everything that's going on. Lorene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yes, of course. Lots of stuff. We are 1 week before this huge election, and there's so much going on. But right now, today, in front of Congress, Facebook, Twitter, Google, all defending Section 230. Tell us about it. What do you know?
Yeah, so, you know, Section 230 was part of the Communication Decency Act that was passed in 1996. And the idea behind Section 230 was to provide immunity to these different entities regarding speech that might be happening on their mediums, and specifically the idea of allowing them to remove content that was indecent, lewd comments, that kind of thing. And it provided them immunity in that regard. What's happened as of late is the extension of that into ideas like ideological biases and hate speech, and then it comes against the First Amendment in saying, are they preventing, in essence, free speech, and do we need to put some parameters around their immunity? Because right now, Facebook, Twitter, Google all fall under Section 230, which gives them immunity from making those kinds of changes, and so it will be interesting to see as they defend it, as they defend Section 230 before Congress. And, of course, as Congress looks at and questions, do they need to make any changes? And whether it happens, you know, as law in Congress, or whether it happens to the FCC, Federal Communications, or whether it happens through the high courts, in other words, the Supreme Courts, as cases might be brought against it, it's yet to be seen how there might be changes to Section 230. But I would tell people, expect some changes to happen because of some of the censorship. And the question for consumers is, as a consumer, do you really want those companies, Facebook, Twitter, Google, do you want those companies censoring out information that comes to you, or do you want to decide, you know, and take a look at the content yourself? So that's a real decision, you know, looking out for the consumer as well.
And it's so interesting and so important because we haven't quite figured all of this out yet. And it's super important to have the right things in place and the right systems in place to make sure that, it can be a slippery slope is what I'm trying
to
say.
It can be, you know, and most recently, and not advocating for either side here, I'm just telling the facts. And the facts are that, you know, there was a big story about Biden that went out, and it was censored and cut off, and half of the population hasn't even heard of this story, and these companies are saying, well, you know, we took, you know, they're using Section 230 to say, hey, we have immunity to take this off. And yet the question is, shouldn't the public hear these allegations? Is it right to not hear that when, in fact, there have now been corroborative sources saying that, in fact, these things are true? So I won't get into the specifics, but people can look into it for themselves. The question is, should those stories be censored?
Exactly. Because we're all in these echo chambers on our own phones. Everybody's phone is different according to what they look at and read, and it just keeps isolating their viewpoints. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Facebook, Twitter, and Google defending Section 230. Lorene, that's wonderful information for us to think about and keep track of and see what happens from there. It brings to mind Proposition 24 on the ballot on the California propositions. That was one that at first, when you just read the bold print and the proposition, you go, oh, yeah, I'm for more privacy, online privacy, sure. So I want to vote yes. But when you look at the fine print, it's not so easy. Does that happen a lot?
You know, Tommy, thanks for bringing that up, because I think as we're coming up on an election, it's so important with every proposition to dig deep, not just read the one sentence that seems like it summarizes it, but dig much deeper to understand the implications. In the case of Proposition 24, it creates a whole new agency at the cost of $10 million a year. And so, you know, Californians need to ask themselves the question, do we really want another California agency set up at the cost of $10 million a year? And by the way, people, who pays for that? We all pay for it in the form of taxes. And we know that California taxes are some of the highest taxes in the nation. And it's because of this kind of legislation that passes that creates more agencies, creates more bureaucracies, and costs all of us more money. And so, yes, like you said, privacy is a good thing. And don't forget, we have laws already to protect privacy. Why does there need to be another law in the state of California that creates another agency?
And digging deep is very important, because it is your money and you want to know where the money's going. And speaking of, the third quarter economics report is released tomorrow. What are you expecting to see?
So we're already in the earnings season for Q3. And what we've seen so far as companies reporting their earnings, has been very positive. Now, we've expected that. We expected that the Q3 was going to be this huge surge up. And, large companies, Microsoft came out yesterday with beating expectations. And I think you're going to continue to see these large corporations continue to beat expectations if they are, in fact, in the, let's just call it, the right industries. And what I mean by that is that the industries that were not impacted as much by the coronavirus, by COVID-19. So on the flip side, what we're seeing is those industries, sectors like travel, entertainment, continue to just be beaten down because they don't have recovery yet. And so what we're seeing is an uneven recovery in certain areas that are doing really well, in certain areas that are not. And it's the tale of two markets. It's the tale of two economies. It's that you've got certain areas that are fully in recovery and doing really well, other areas that are not and going to take a lot longer. But what I will say is GDP numbers will be very strong. Now, as strong as they are in Q3, it still does not pull us up to a full year of positive GDP yet. It's because when you have a downdraft in economic numbers, it takes even more just mathematically to come up to where you were before, right? So So I'll say it's going to be a strong Q3, but we're still feeling the impact overall on the recession that we are coming out of.
Yeah. What's the biggest threat in the fourth quarter to the economy?
Well, the biggest threat in the fourth quarter is the concern of future legislation that might derail our economy. And so I would say that if there is talk in the fourth quarter about, it really can go one of two ways, and a lot depends on the election, because they're very different proposals on the table. If the proposals on the table in the fourth quarter are increased taxation, that can hurt our economic growth. If there's talk of decrease in taxation, that can help our economic growth. So the biggest threat has to do with whether there's going to be a push in Congress towards more legislation that could actually hurt the economy. Now, on the flip side of that, to balance that out, let me just balance it out here, is that I do think also in the fourth quarter, we're going to hear about stimulus. And so the idea of more stimulus, no matter who's elected, there will be more stimulus that comes our way after the election. And so with that idea of stimulus will offset any potential threat of more taxation.
Well, digging deep with Lorene Gilbert, CEO of Wealthwise Financial. Lorene, what should investors think about at year end?
So this year in particularly, I think is going to be critical for investors to relook at their portfolios from a taxation standpoint. And we are having conversations during the fourth quarter with our investors about potentially taking more gains than they may have thought of before, if in fact we believe that taxes are going to continue to go up. And I will tell you, in California, we know that they are continuing to go up. So we have that to deal with. And then nationally, the question is, will there be discussions of increased taxation? As well as, I would say, this is the time to be relooking at your estate plan as well, with the idea that we could also see some state tax implications, and not only at the federal level potentially, but at the state level. The state has trying to pass legislation that would bring down the estate tax to $3 million, which impacts a lot of Californians by the time you take your home, as well as other investments. So I would say Q4 for investors is a time to relook at their tax situation and with regards to their portfolio, as well as their estate taxes.
Well, these are all such important things, and thank you so much for spending your time every week talking to us about these things. It's going to be interesting to see what happens today as Facebook, Twitter, and Google are before Congress defending Section 230, and all great things to think about, and you're bringing it to the forefront, and thank goodness we have you to dig deep and talk about these issues.
Yeah, and if people have any additional questions, they can reach out to us at 949-748-1177, or they can find us online at wealthwisefinancial.com.
Lorene, can't wait to talk to you next week, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, for the great insight, and have a wonderful day today.
Thank you. You as well.